The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are not necessarily representative of the Coalition or of any other entity. This content is intended for mature audiences only.
What's going on, people? Welcome to Throw Down Your Questions, episode 186. I am your host, Tony Polanco, and tonight I'm joined by Emilio Lopez.
It is time for some questions.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, what's up, everyone?
Carlos Romero.
Yo.
And Adam Vale.
Suck up for your Sunday.
All right, no Brian action, because I think he's off to see... Okay, but this is what happened. Brian built a time machine, and he's going back to the royal wedding. That's how dedicated this man is, you know? And Brett is watching Deadpool for the 50th time, I think. Who knows?
He might as well just start sending Ryan Reynolds money.
Yeah, just send him money directly.
Mailing him money.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into it, but I'm like, I saw the movie once. I'm kind of good. I don't really need to see it again, you know?
Yeah, I'm good. I don't need to see it any more than I already saw.
Yeah, it's like I got the gist of it. You know, they got Deadpool. He's got guns. He shoots people. I get the story.
Yeah, but he got guns.
He got guns, man. All right, so a couple of things here. I'm just going to say this at the top of the show. I'm going to say it again at the end of the show. So there will not be a Throw Down Your Questions next Sunday, which is June 10th. Because that's before E3. Actually, that's kind of during E3 nowadays, if you really think about it. So, no show that time, but we will have two podcasts that day. But anyway, that show, episode 187, will return on June 17th. So, wait until E3 is over to leave us questions in the comment section of this episode, which is 186. So, just hold off until E3 is over. Then you can ask us questions. We want E3 questions for that specific episode. And then after that, the Monday after that, which is literally the next day, we're going to have an AMA episode, which is Ask Me Anything on Monday night, you know, just to even out the numbers and stuff. So make sure you join us for that, too.
And we're going to do that one live.
Live. Like, we're doing this live, too.
Be able to ask questions live.
Yeah. Because that one's specifically for the people who are watching us live. So, you know, join us for that. And also, since you're here, let me pop up this nice graphic.
Whoa. Look at that.
All right, we got graphics, man. Okay, so here's your full E3 schedule. And right now we're doing the first one of these, man, to throw on your questions pre-E3 special, baby. It's going to be crazy. So this Wednesday, we're going to be doing Throwdown episode 187. We're going to have Robert Workman and David Guiltyman on from the ARG podcast, or ARG. I don't know how to say the name of their podcast. I think it's ARG.
I'd say ARG.
Like pirates,
ARG.
Right?
ARG.
ARG. You know, and then on Saturday, we got EA Play, right? We're going to do a live reaction. Sunday, we got Xbox E3 briefing and Bethesda briefing. Monday, we got Ubisoft and PlayStation. Tuesday, we got Nintendo. And Thursday, you know, next Thursday, we got episode 188, the post E3 analysis show. And then we'll be back with that episode I just told you about for Throw Down Your Questions. So it's going to be crazy, man.
It's crazy.
I like you, but you're crazy. All right. Where the head's at, man? Oh, shit. We already got heads in the house. What's going on, people? All right. Without further ado, let's get into it, man.
People.
Hey, people. All right. First up here is the X-Skull. So his question is, what would be your top five E3 2018 hopes that you really want to see but are unlikely to? I'm not going to restrict you guys to five. If you can't come up with five, don't worry about it. But what are some things you want to see at E3 that you know is not going to happen?
Oh, no, we can't say that we know for sure not going to happen.
Yeah, but that's the nature of the
possible.
No. That's the nature of the question. That's the nature of the question.
That's not good. I don't like that question.
Yeah. Well, you're gonna have to. Okay, you can refrain from it. By the way, Black Metal Gamer also asked us the same type of question. He just goes, "What are some announcements from the big three that you want to happen but you know is not going to happen?" All right, I'll go first.
How about we add one word to that? Could. Not have. We don't know.
No. We gotta be with it, because you know, like, there's some things you know for a fact is not gonna happen. So, All right, so
you
I'm going to
like
start
Sega from, coming back. Yeah, announcing
like a got, release date on Shenmue 3.
Do we want that? Do you want another Sega console?
No. You know, okay, I'm going to start it off, and then we're going right. to... Okay.
You base it off of him.
Yeah, I want to see a stall brought back. It ain't going to happen, right? I want to see Konami announce a new Castlevania game with actual good developers. That ain't going to happen, you know? What else? I'll come up with some other ones later. But Adam, that's the gist of it. You want this to happen, but you know it's not going to happen because they're assholes or whatever, you know.
One for me is, and this is actually pretty broad. It's just kind of geared towards the studio. I don't think Valve is going to show up to any of the press conferences to release a 3 sequel to one of the two games, like either Portal 2 or Half-Life 2 or Team Fortress 2. Or any of those games, we're not gonna get it. We're not gonna get an announced 3, but I want it. It'd be crazy. Left 4 Dead 3. I'm tired of zombie games, but I'll be down for Left 4 Dead 3 though.
Yeah, I like what Shinazi says here. Scale bound. That would be nice, but it ain't happening.
All right, so I have one then. All right, I got two. Ghostbusters, another Ghostbusters game.
Yeah,
who knows? That'll never happen. Another Tony Hawk game. If they could fix that, bring back the old crew. NeverSoft. That's not happening.
Damn, my man said NeverSoft. I haven't thought about them in years. Fuck.
Yeah, man. They did some great games, but Skate came and just killed them. And then EA was like, all right, we killed those guys off now. Let's stop making these shits. Shit. You know, that kind of stuff. Because I would add Skate on that list, but the rumors are that they are doing one, so I can't. But the Tony Hawk definitely doesn't look like it's happening, so I could say that. But I would like to see it. A remaster or a new version of Manhunt. You know, I doubt
I'll
ever go back to that. But man, that was before its time, man. Those brutal kills. Remember, put the bag over the head and shit. We've never seen that till this day. Like, they never went that gritty. That was pick up a piece of knife and just shank the guy in the neck and they would zoom in on it and you see all the blood squirting everywhere. That was nuts.
Yeah, I don't think. Yeah, you can't get away with that nowadays. All right, Carlos, go ahead.
A virtual console for the Switch. Everyone wants one. But we know we're not getting it because they're making too much damn money off of those classic consoles.
Yeah, just mod your shit and you'll get it. I showed you the video. They're doing
it. Yeah, mighty.
See, they make people do this. They make people. Nintendo does this. You know,
yeah, they do it. They know what they're doing.
You make me do this shit.
Mighty Nerd says he wants Capcom to release a Marvel versus fighting game compilation like Street Fighter 30th anniversary, but it's probably not going to happen. Yeah, I agree with that. Capcom already said they're not doing those, you know, because I think the Darkstalkers game didn't do too well. They did re-release it, like the first two games, I believe. They did a collection on PS3, but that didn't do well. Then the Darkstalkers one didn't do well. And they're like, yeah, we're just not going to do this anymore, except for Street Fighter.
I thought he was going to say he wanted a remaster of Lost Planet.
No, that'd be Brian if he was here, you know?
I want the Lost Planet.
The first one was awesome.
Yeah, Soul Reaver, that's not going to happen. I wish.
That's up to Squeenix.
I've been asking for that shit for years. You know, if you guys have been checking out Throwdown since the beginning, I've been talking about this shit the whole time, man.
That's the one where the guy jumps to the flip side, right? Like, if you can't get through a door, and then you flip to the dark world, and then that door is open.
Yeah, that's he can go through between the spirit world and the real world.
I had that for Dreamcast.
Yep.
Man.
Came out for PlayStation, Dreamcast.
Chris, you got anything, man?
Yo, I've given up on Siphon Filter. Yeah. That's been my prediction for 2 years. Like, oh, rip the thing. I'm just going to give up. I'm just going to say Siphon Filter. We're never going to. No, it's gone. It's gone. My dream's gone. No Siphon Filter for me. That's Brian. That's another Brian, but I'll join in on that. No SOCOM either.
Brian, I like Lost Planet and SOCOM. Thank you.
So, yeah, I mean, every year I'm like, oh, we're going to get closer. Because Siphon Filter now. I give up.
Yeah, it ain't happening. Anything else?
Crackdown coming out this year.
Speaking of Crackdown, I went back to that. I went back to Crackdown 1. I did the backward compatible just because I'm still trying to get all the orbs. It just doesn't hold up anymore for me. So it's like I'm looking at it. I'm like the gameplay and all the stuff. I'm like, we've had so many other games come out since then that have done a better job. I think that's probably the vibe that a lot of people got when they were able to play it. Like, wow, this feels a lot like the first one, and it feels dated. So I could see why they decided to scrap it and go back to the drawing board.
Manny, you got anything?
Let's see. The bouncer returning.
Oh.
Yeah,
that ain't happening.
That ain't happening.
Agent.
Oh, yeah, that oh, wait,
agent.
That and I'd like to see a sequel to Einhander.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
And a Tobol number 3.
Is that also a beat 'em up?
Yeah. No, it's like
a fighting
like,
game.
Fighting
right?
game, yeah.
Yeah.
A new Dead Space.
Oh, oh
that we're not gonna get that.
And
yeah.
Yeah.
Some bullshit, E3. Awesome. Some bullshit. Awesome. All right, man. Unless anybody else has another one to add in, we could move on here. This one is a little bit, it's the opposite end. This is from Kevin Spacey's Lemon Party. So his first question is, hey, I like that name better than the cum stain one he had before, whatever the hell it was. So his question is, what third party surprise do you hope to see? This is just hope. It could happen. It may not happen. You just hope to see it.
I was just talking about this.
Yeah.
To NBA Street, if EA does an NBA Street, bring that series back. Bring back Skate. Right? There's rumors of that, so I hope that those things are true. And that's it. Those are the two that I really hope.
Yeah. By the way, Life and Times, man, appreciate you being here. Save that NBA talk for some time, other time, bro. This E3, baby. And it's a gaming show, too. Manny, third-party surprises.
Third party surprises, like real surprises or fake surprises.
No, it could take whatever you want. Take it however
things
you want.
Things that you think is possible surprises.
A possible surprise, yeah, I don't know.
How about Death Stranding actually coming out this year? Like, looking up to what he said that the game is done.
Oh, I don't know. Well, but that is that. So it says third party. Does that
that's
include
party?
Yeah, that doesn't count. That's first party.
That's the first party.
Yeah.
What? Really? It's first party?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's being funded by Sony.
Yeah.
Sony.
It is. Yep.
I thought he was doing it.
He is doing it for Sony. Yeah.
I mean, they basically gave him a series. He has the Japanese equivalent of Santa Monica, but it's still Sony, you know?
Do
it that way.
I don't know.
Well, let's ask Mr. Brett, who's joining us. What's going on, Brett?
What's up, guys?
All right, so what third-party surprises would you like to see at E3 this year? This is a tough one, isn't it? Again, I'm
something from Bethesda, but we already kind of know what they're doing, and they kind of again everything's leaked, so that's what makes this question difficult.
Did they already leak Doom 2?
No.
So that could be one. I'm pretty sure they might.
I'd be down for that.
They'd probably be a sequel to Doom, yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, but would that be a surprise, though? Because we know that's coming eventually.
No, it's not a surprise. Like, a surprise would be like Manny's Einhander.
Yeah.
Einhander coming out of nowhere.
Barry Burton says he wants Erdgeist versus Power Stone. That's interesting.
Yeah, a new Power Stone game. Power Stone.
There you go. Yeah, there you go. From Capcom.
You could
sure
put that on the other question. That's never happening.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Here's a surprise because Sega's focused on like four IPs, right? You know, the Sonic out the Wazoo and Stop the Time. Skies of Arcadia 2, damn it.
Ooh, I like
Bring that.
Back. I like that. Shinosky, what are you talking about? We know exactly what 76 is. Brett laid it all down on Thursday. He knows exactly what the game is.
New Bioshock.
By the way, what is that clicking I keep hearing? Somebody clipping their nails or using a stapler or something?
Sounds like a lighter.
That's me. It's like one of those adapters, like a USB adapter.
Okay, are you adapting something, right? Because I've been hearing that shit since the beginning of the show.
No, I've just been filling that.
Busy hands. Yeah. I hear. I've done that before too. I remember not to derail it too much. Back this was when like Rachel was recording the show. She was like, "Who is?" She was like, "Tony, were you clicking on something the whole time?" Like, "Oh shit!" I had my like nail like clipper, and I was just clicking on it the whole time without realizing it. You know, because you don't notice that shit. You know, E3 classic Revenge of the Booth Babes. In Booth Babes, you're not going to see that ever again. Yeah. Not in this environment, you know? Mighty Nerd says, my third party surprise is the Marvel Fighting Compilation, but also Raiden Fighter Aces. Okay.
Have they said anything about Beyond Good and Evil 2?
No.
Which year?
It's got customizable characters.
Yeah, yeah. You got customizable characters now.
Yeah, maybe they'll probably... My guess is they'll show something this year, but I don't know. It's hard to say like surprises because pretty much everything leaked. It's like, what is there left to talk, like to try to figure out?
Yeah, I think
there probably is something, but.
Yeah, I don't really know, you know, because everything gets fucking announced, you know, leaked.
Yeah, because I mean, we could have. Like, if Bethesda didn't say anything about the Fallout stuff, that would have been something that probably someone would have predicted.
Yeah, exactly. Like, and I think they already flat out said there's not going to be another Elder Scrolls game, so throw, you know, can't add that in there.
Yep.
Oh, well. All right. This question is pretty much running out of juice, so let's move on to the next one.
You don't got enough to go around?
Yeah. Okay, so this one's kind of funny. Which PlayStation E3 disc was better? The 1995 PlayStation 299 mic drop or the 2013 video showing how you can share a game with a friend? So which one was
the... It was sharing the game.
Sharing. That was smack in the face right there.
Yes. Yeah. That was like... That just rubbed the salt into Don Matrick's like fucking foot in his mouth bullshit.
And wasn't that like the day after the...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They showed it?
Day after.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you know, we have sharing here. And he just... There you go.
He literally, yeah, handed a game to his book.
Well, didn't he hand it to Adam Boys, the former?
I believe so. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, Shuhei Yoshida gave it. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. That was a solid burn too.
Yeah, that was
just a solid burn.
Yeah. This although we do not want to take away from the PlayStation 299 announcement. The man literally goes up there, says 299, walks off the stage. Like, damn, son.
299, bam.
Like, and the thing is, Sony Mini kind of had a mini version of that that same year with 2013. We're like, yep, $399.
Yeah, and the question is, it's like, which one was a bigger disc? I mean, the whole sharing games is
it's just a bigger disc. Yeah,
they just knocked the shit out of them.
Yeah,
they really.
Yeah, like I said, I want to give props to the, you know, to $299, but yeah, the bigger disc was easily the game sharing thing. I was like, damn, son.
That shit felt like Pusha T versus Drake all over again.
You know? All right, man. So we'll move on here to Black Metal Gamer. So he goes, at the PlayStation conference, what IP would you want Blue Point to announce they are remaking? Manny, I'm going to you first since you're the Blue Hole fan here, or Blue Point, whatever.
The Blue Hole. Oh, jeez. Wow.
I always call him Blue Hole. What's Blue Hole? Is that a name of a band or something?
I don't know.
Yeah, anyway, Blue Point, go.
Blue Ocean,
maybe.
Blue Ocean.
Since Blue Point does a lot of Sony games, and they supposedly have some big super game that's in there, I'm going to say... Actually, I would like to see them go back and do another Metal Gear Solid 3. Oh, yeah. Or Metal Gear Solid 1. Like, just make a better version of that. Because it needs to happen. That's it.
Yeah. By the way, Blue Hole is PUBG developers. That's where I got them confused with.
I thought they were the PUBG Corporation.
No.
Make up your mind.
The PUBG Corporation owns Blue Hole. It's stupid, you know? Or it is the other way around. The Blue Hole Corp, you know, owns PUBG. I don't, it's one of them.
It would seem kind of weird if the PUBG Corporation has a developer under their wings that makes PUBG. It's like,
why? Yeah, it's like, I think it's Blue Hole owns the PUBG Corporation. But yeah, I'll go with Manny. Metal Gear. Sure, why not? You know, fuck that. Infamous, man. You know,
famous,
yes, yeah. Specifically the first game. You know, that'd be awesome. Actually, I'm down for that. Like a complete like remake using like newer technology. That'd be crazy. You crazy, man?
Crazy, man.
All right, Chris, go.
You know what? Like, I would love, like, if like Konami gave a crack at a 3D Castlevania to these guys. Maybe they would do something. But not, remake anything. Don't touch the Gabriel Belmont games. Forget those. Those are buried. Bury them and never talk about them again. Make a new one.
So Chris said, "Fuck the question. I want a new game."
I never want those remade. They were bad the first time. You know, and we're gonna get Bloodstained, which basically is like an homage to Symphony of the Night. So I don't need that remade. You know, remaking that would make it better. You could play that now. It's great. You know, but there hasn't been a decent 3D Castlevania game. There hasn't.
No, just, never.
Ever. So maybe these guys could do it. Maybe if you give them a shot, like, hey, can you do that? Can you do something like, look at these games, right? But don't look at them. And make something better.
By the way, Czar is great, says he wants Blue Point to make SOCOM 1-2 Combat Assault. Okay, that'd be cool. I guess SOCOM 1-2 Combat to Combat SOCOM Combat Assault, I'm guessing is what he's saying. I never played any of these games, so correct me if I'm wrong there.
Pretty sure Brian would be happy with that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Can it be any game? Any franchise?
I think realistically it should be a Sony first party, but whatever. Just have fun with it. I don't care.
I would say remake all the 2D Sonics from the Genesis.
Oh, like
that's already been done.
Oh, yeah, that is true. That is true. The same guys that did Sonic Mania. did those, but only for the phone games, though. They need to put them on consoles, you know?
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll think of something else. Remake all the... I was going to say all the Halo games, but they did that too, and they fucked it up.
Oh, yeah, man.
And then I was going to say, remake Secret of Mana, because obviously the other people who remade it did a bad job with it.
Oh,
so.
Shit. Master Shake says Final Fantasy Tactics remake. By the way, who's typing back there? I love how when I call you one of you motherfuckers out, you get mad quiet. It was Adam, by the way. I knew who it was.
I'm not typing.
All right.
Playing your video games.
Oh, but yo, Def Jam. What if they remake Final Fantasy VII, man?
Whoops, we didn't get the memo. Square, you doing that?
Shit. I thought you guys announced that shit like 10 years ago.
They're going back to formula, like the Green Goblin.
formula.
Yeah. All right. Brett, I know you hate remakes, but what do you want them to remake?
I don't know, Tony, what kind of sandbox video game do you want them to make?
Remake, not make.
No, I know. That's just like saying, like, hey, Tony, what kind of sandbox MMORPG survival game do you want? It's like, I don't.
How about Fallout 3?
Remakes.
How about Fallout 3? I would like that also.
Dude, even the problem with any of those games is they gain new stuff, but the core game gets a little more shallow with every game. Like, I'd love to see them remake Morrowind. But I know that the Morrowind I would get would be 40% of the Morrowind that I had back then. Be a hell of a lot prettier, but half the mechanics would be stripped out.
How do you know that, though? If they did a remake, it would just be cosmetic. The gameplay would still basically be the same, just a little bit smoother, you know? Like, for example, when they, you know, because this is Blue Point, they've never drastically altered their remakes outside of visuals. The core gameplay is the same, just a little bit smoother, you know?
Brett, what if they remade Fallout 3 and New Vegas, and it's like this huge sandbox where the whole Fallout 3 world is in one place, and then you can drive all the way to New Vegas?
You lost me at drive.
Okay, what if you can
teleport?
Sail
you can teleport there.
You can that's sail even there.
Worse.
I'll take the Brotherhood airship. You take the Brotherhood airship.
Take the alien spaceship, man.
See, no, Chris knows what we're talking about. I'm just not huge on
driving
remakes other than...
Yeah, that's why I knew it was kind of like weird to ask you this. You don't like remakes, period, you know?
I mean, I do, but I think most of the ones that I've really wanted are either done, about to be done, or have been horribly mangled and I no longer want them to be done. Yeah. I guess I'm just a cynic on this one.
Yeah. All right. Adam, you go.
Def Jam. Def Jam Fight for New York, Def Jam Vendetta, bring back Akai, that studio that did the fight engine on that, and bring that series back. It's never going to happen.
Yeah, Blue Point. All right, hey, what's going on, Show One? Appreciate the super chat, brother. All right, so we'll move on here to All Day Digital. So, okay, what things don't you want to see at the PlayStation, Xbox, and Nintendo press conferences?
TV.
Yep.
Anything that's coming in 2020.
Anything remotely related to motion controls. Nope. Don't want to see that, you know?
None of this 2020 shit. I want everything that's going to be coming out within the year.
I don't want to see what they did for PSX. That whole, we're going to sit down with the developers and chat. That thing, man, that formula was so horrible.
The fireside chat.
Yeah, the fireside chat. Yeah, like, I mean, when they announced, like, oh, we're gonna focus on these four games, like 10 minutes a pop or something like that. I'm like, oh no, not again, because it's just, man, it's just a whole bunch of awkward small chat and like these forced conversations and stuff that a lot of people didn't really care about. So I hope Sony doesn't do that in this conference.
I hope. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just saying, I hope Xbox doesn't do, oh, we got more backwards compatible stuff. It's like, okay, guys, let's move on to newer shit now, you know? I don't want to see that. All right, Brett, what don't you want to see from these conferences? This is your time to shine.
Why is this my time to shine?
Because you can say, I don't want them to do this. Now. Yeah, like, I don't want them to do, I don't want to see this. I don't want to hear that. That sounds like a Brett thing.
I just don't want to see more of the same shit. I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Like, all right, Agatha Christie, let's go ahead and do this.
I like that.
I just don't want to see more of the same, but I am seeing hints of new types of game. Like this new Fallout game has me at least really excited that at least some companies are trying to do fresh experiences, trying to open genres, trying to reinvent games. The kind of shit I don't want to see exactly is from, and I maybe, you know, I haven't heard anything new about this game, but whatever this battle pirate ship fucking game that Ubisoft is coming out with is pretty much the holy grail of what I don't want to see. Shallow Overwatch style gameplay. Like everything has to be distilled down into a fucking MOBA or a randomly for no reason a multiplayer experience. That's the kind of thing I don't want to see. More shit flavor of the month, more battle royale games, more wide as an ocean, deep as a puddle type of game. So do some new shit. Like I'm just so sick of all the same shit over and over and over and over and over again. But again, like I already know that that's what we're going to get. Everybody's riding this battle royale bullshit, but there are some people doing other things that just. What I don't want to see is the same tired trope shit or things that are half-baked ideas off of something else that was just recently popular. I don't want to see coattail riding, but right. Everything's going to be fucking PUBG, isn't it?
Probably. I want to add in, I don't want to see game announcements of nothing more than a logo. You got to show me something more, not just a fucking logo. I don't want to see that from anybody.
No, you know what I don't want to see? I don't want to see a company go out there and say, we're going to have an announcement in 3 months at our press conference.
Oh, yeah. I got one for you.
Square
Enix. I don't want to see another confusing trailer with Norman Reedus that doesn't explain a goddamn thing about a video game that I have no idea when it's ever going to come out if it is.
You know what? There's only one confusing trailer with Norman Reedus. Well, actually, no, there's two now.
Miguel says he doesn't want to see Days Gone anymore.
I
don't need to see that. It's like, okay, we know what it is. Just get it out there. Stop talking about it.
You know, I'm surprised by your guys. Like, well, not surprised, but I'm mildly confused by your guys' disdain for Days Gone. Like, did it do something to you?
No, it's
what it doesn't do.
Yeah, no, it's the same reason for I have to not disdain, but not caringness for the State of Decay. We've seen a million of these fucking zombie games already. I can't get excited over that. You know, that's my thing. You know that, Brett.
Yeah, but you all like, but you'll.
Are you excited for the games and you can't you understand
play. What? Well,
I mean,
are you excited for that one? Last of Us 2?
That's like saying I don't want to play another paramilitary game.
Yeah, like, I don't like those either. I understand. I don't like those either, dude. It's like, okay, yeah, and here's another military shooting game. Here we go. It's like, all right, whatever, dude, you know?
Like, pretty much everyone was rolling their eyes to the whole Battlefield and Call of Duty stuff, other than Adam.
Yeah, pretty much. Adam's the only one that liked that stuff, you know? So, Brett, it's just a preference, dude. Shooters. Yeah, it's just a preference.
That's why I get confused, because, like, zombie game isn't a game type. It's just a narrative or a theme.
It's a game thing. It's like it's a game where you're shooting or melee killing a bunch of, brainless hordes that come at you, you know? So it's a gameplay thing, too.
You think, like, Last of Us and Dying Light are the same game, the same type of game?
Yes, they are, because you're killing... Yeah, they are. Narratively, they're different, but gameplay-wise, kind of, you know, I'll give you this.
They were completely different gameplay-wise. One was...
When you had to avoid them.
Basically Uncharted.
Yeah.
The Last of Us was basically Uncharted.
What?
No, it wasn't. What are you talking about? Dying Light is more like Uncharted, if anything. What are you talking about? Like, I'll give you this. Like, the thing is, like, okay, I understand, like, Last of Us is slower pace. Dying Light is, like, frantic running. But at the end of the day, it's zombie shit.
The Last of Us and Uncharted are both third-person, narrative-driven, single-player adventure games that run you through corridors of enemies and bottleneck you into little set piece scenes. Like, it is literally the exact same game, except one is zombie themed and the other one has guns. The only difference is the fucking story and the enemy type, the way that they tell it. Again, third person, shooter melee, like, it's the exact same thing. Whereas Dying Light is an open world game with time mechanics and the need to scavenge and craft. Like, the two could not be further apart, and that's why the people can flagrate them, because they have zombies in them. Like, you literally want to say that two games that are worlds apart in the way that they play are closer together than two games made by the same company that are essentially just a reskinning of the same engine with a new story? Like,
yeah, I don't know. I think you're reaching a little bit there, bro.
Every Unreal Engine 3 or Unreal 3 engine is like a reskinning of that engine.
So yeah.
I don't see The Last of Us being any further from Uncharted than Blood Dragon was from Far Cry. Like, yes, they are different games, but they're pretty much built the same way out of the same stuff.
No, I see what you're saying, but when I play an Uncharted game, when I was playing The Last of Us, the last thing I fucking thought of was Uncharted. It is completely different. The feel, the gameplay, very, very different. Whereas Dying Light is like, oh shit, there's a bunch of fucking monsters behind me. I gotta either run or kill them. It's, you know what I'm saying? It has that same, they both give me that same kind of feel, you know? Uncharted, it doesn't give me a feel. I feel like a fucking badass when I'm playing Uncharted. I'm taking out all these motherfuckers. And The Last of Us, you feel very helpless, you know? Yep,
you can die at any time. Like, those clickers, as long as they touch you, you're dead. Not only that, but your ammunition is, like, really scarce. And the enemies take, like, less shots than Uncharted. Uncharted, like, has like that sand people issue where you just load clips upon clips upon clips on things until you kill them. So they play, I mean, yeah, they're both third person narrative driven shooters, but they play distinctly different.
By the way, Brett, the guys in the chat are not agreeing with your assessment right now. Oh,
I'm
man.
Not saying that they're the same, that they're okay. Are you guys getting confused thinking that I'm saying that they're similar games less similar games?
You said Uncharted and Last of Us is pretty much the same. They're just different.
Yeah.
It's the same thing but just reskinned.
It's pretty much a retool. Like I said, it's like Far Cry and Blood Dragon. Like it looks like the same engine, the same team, the same people. It looks like the same creative team. There's not a whole lot of difference, but the story that they tell, and yes, I will agree, the way that it makes you feel, the intensity, like Uncharted is, you know, it's loose, it's fast, it's funny, it's light. You know, The Last of Us is none of those things, but those are thematics of a narrative that make you feel a certain way. Like, that's not necessarily the gameplay itself or the way that the game is built. That is the way the story is being told. That credit belongs in the hands of the storytellers, not necessarily the people who are developing the engine.
The Last of Us has weapon fragility.
If crafting, you know.
It has crafting.
Yeah, it has a lot of similarities to
it. It has a leveling light, up system.
Yeah, you know? I know it has a lot
of. And we got way off fucking track here.
You really think that an open world, free form questing, you know, exploration, crafting based game is closer to what The Last of Us is than Uncharted? Seriously?
No, but we're not saying. But we're not.
That's what this whole thing started off as.
No. It started off because you're saying The Last of Us and Uncharted 4 or Uncharted are pretty much the same game.
Yeah, that's where you lost the narrative.
It started way before that when I said The Last of Us Last of Us is more like Uncharted than it is Dying Light, and everybody disagreed with me. That's my whole context for the whole point of this thing is I'm not saying Uncharted is anything like. The Last of Us. I'm just saying they are way closer together than Dying Light is to The Last of Us. Dying Light and The Last of Us are hugely different games with vastly different mechanics, world story structure, quest system, crafting, and multiplayer. The only similarity is that they both have zombies in them. That was my point.
Yeah, okay. And my point still stands that I am sick of zombie games. All right? It's as simple as that. You know, so that's where but it's not disdain. I just sick and tired of that stuff. I've been sick and tired of stuff for like a decade now. When the first Uncharted game had a section where you're essentially fighting zombies. I'm like, oh my fucking God, Uncharted's doing this shit too. That was fucking 11 years ago, you know? So I was already tired of it.
Dinosaurs is all I'm saying.
What happened?
No, I got him with his dinosaurs.
No, I liked the zombies. I just got tired of them. I don't like them in games. It's the same.
I've never liked any dinosaur game.
Yeah, exactly. I've never liked zombies in games, period, unless they were like beat 'em up zombies, if you know what I mean. But that's a whole different thing. It's like I don't like melee enemies that just mindless monsters that just come at you in droves. It's boring.
So you don't like melee games?
No, I don't like melee enemies. I said melee enemies. Like,
so
you know,
you like your enemies in your melee game to shoot at you, but they don't. Hit you? I'm confused.
What? No, if the enemies are shooting at me and taking behind, and actually, if their enemies are shooting at me and they actually care for their own lives, I like that because their strategy.
You don't like melee enemies. You don't like enemies.
That's my name for them. Melee enemies. Enemies, I don't have weapons. I just come at you like, ah! Understand? I don't like those, like, horde enemies that are just there to just overwhelm
that's
you.
That's a better version of that.
Yeah, let's call them horde enemies because yeah, melee enemies could convince you. That's just my Tony name for them. I don't like horde enemies; very annoying. But if they have weapons and they're actually taking cover and shit, and you could tell they're thinking, that's cool to me. You know, it's just like, oh, okay, here we go. Just don't even bother aiming. Just and you're done with them. You know,
let's mow them all down.
Yeah. Anyway, we got way fucking off track. I don't even remember what the question was.
Yo, man,
about Ninja Turtles. What did we get another one?
Yeah.
What don't you want them to do at these conferences?
Yeah, I definitely don't want to see any more logos. Like, show the game. Show the game, you know?
Yeah, kind of like what they did with Horizon or like they did with...
Metroid,
you know?
You know, and Smash Brothers.
And Agent.
An Agent, exactly.
No, I've said Horizon. They didn't show a logo. They showed a game.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to move on. G Megaforce 123. So his first question is, what do you hope Ghost of Tsushima plays like? More like Neo, more like Souls, more like Bloodborne, more like Assassin's Creed, more like Omnimusha or Tenchu? The trailer we have seen to suggest that the player character turns into a bit of an assassin ninja, plus the game has ghosts in it. We also see the player character begin as a samurai and wearing samurai attire. So perhaps will be able to choose play styles. All right, so what do you want this game to play like? I'm guessing he's talking about the combat specifically.
Probably, definitely the combat. I know, judging by the company that's making it, it probably won't be like a sort of melee sort of game. So I think it's going to be something in the same kin as something like a God of War or Souls-ish games where you're a little more... strategic about the way you fight things, as opposed to just wailing on everything until they die.
Yeah, if it's based on sort of the soul stuff, then it's not a bad thing to sort of bite off of.
No,
or Neo too. Like it could do something like what Neo did, which is pretty similar too. So, yeah, all of those are fine for me.
All right, in the chat, Paul says Tenchu. Miguel says Tenchu or The Witcher.
Do we share?
The Witcher.
Oh, you mean that kind of like Batman thing that they use in that one?
Michael says he wants to play a Souls game.
I would want it to be like Souls.
I mean, that's the big hope.
Tony doesn't care for Sam.
Yeah, I don't really care. You know, as long as it plays good, fine. You know, I don't really care one way or another. Mirage, we'll get to your question later on, man. Carlos hit me with that question in the Skype. All right, Brett, I guess Souls for you, right?
Oh yeah, of course.
Adam.
I have no say in this.
Yeah, you don't care.
No, I don't care. Like, I don't like no samurais.
I'm trying to think of a good sword game. I can't think of one. Like a good 3D sword combat game. I can't think of any.
Other than the Souls-ish game?
I mean,
but I don't know if I want this thing to play like Dark Souls. You know what I mean?
Well, I guess that's like why I said.
For Honor.
Well, I would say with or you say For Honor, or I was saying God of War, where it's not exactly Souls, but it's ish.
Yeah. Hmm. I mean, maybe Devil May Cry, but no. But he's a regular human; he can't do all that crazy shit.
Number one, I don't see them making fucking like a blow, you know, like a game like that.
This game looks like it's going to be more grounded, you know.
Yeah.
Even if the combat is exactly like Souls, I think this would be like a different experience. Because I mean, just from looking at the trailer, it looks like it's like pretty narrative driven. Like it looks like it has a story they're trying to tell.
Yeah, and you know what? Yeah, you know what? I'll go
that stuff.
Yeah, no, you know what? If it plays like Souls, I'll be okay with that. You know, because I was just thinking about Assassin's Creed. Assassin's Creed, the last one, kind of took Souls combat, did it pretty well. So yeah, if they could do something like that, that'd be cool. You know. All right. Anybody else want to jump in on this? I think we pretty much answered it.
Yeah.
All right. We'll move on here to the second question. Okay. He goes, E3 sometimes brings interesting innovations that never end up making it to market. The Nintendo Heart Monitor, for example. What's the most... Yeah. So what is the most interesting E3 idea/innovation that you have seen?
That didn't come to fruition? Or...
Yeah, that did not come to fruition.
Oh.
That you thought was interesting.
Oh, I got one. The what was it called?
Milo.
Milo was definitely one of them. That thing, I mean, it was creepy as hell, but it looked like an interesting piece of technology. What came into my mind was something that we haven't heard of since it like not long since it got announced, is the HoloLens. Where the hell is that?
Oh shit! Oh, yeah, that's right. Sure.
When I saw that shit in the, they did such a, Microsoft did an amazing job presenting that to the public.
Mm-hmm. Ain't happening.
They're using it, just not for gaming right now. It's more like, an enterprise environment.
I didn't think their showing did a very good job of selling what in the hell it was actually for. And I feel like augmented reality is inherently limited. Like there's only so many situations where you don't want to be immersed, but you want to be playing a game.
Well, I'm saying the technology is interesting. I'm not saying that it's better than virtual reality or something like that.
Oh, no. The technology is really interesting. I think they just realized that there's not a whole lot of market application for it all by itself. So they're just kind of like, well, shit. I mean, they're
PS. It was never meant for games, though. That's the thing. You guys are thinking it was never meant for us. They showed off.
Then why put it at E3?
It was a platform that keeps showing off the tech. It's always being used just for the enterprise environment and for medical
use. But that makes no sense. Like,
that's just the way they did it. I'm not making the rules.
Yo,
that's
let me
on their website. It's not for gaming.
Let me interject real quick. Paul in the chat said the Wii U.
Damn.
That's a good one. Oh man, Barry says VR.
Oh damn!
What about 3D, man? Bring that shit back, you know?
Oh man,
I feel VR is gonna go that way, where it's gonna disappear for a while, have to fix itself up, come back.
I'll be honest, maybe I'm just forgetting
now.
Yeah, I can't think of any innovations that I thought were interesting that came out of E3. It just seemed like gimmicks at best, you know?
Yeah, that's a lot of gimmicks. Chair. the sex chair.
Oh my God, you wanted that, Adam?
No, but it was something that it would sound interesting. I mean, they showed, you know, somebody sitting in there and it has all these ports and things and it plugs in and you're interacting with somebody and it was a subscription service and all this.
What the fuck?
Like, damn, is that going to be a thing? Is that going to be like the next, you know, plug and play service? But
plug and play, plug, Adam. And play. Were you were you plugging it to, son?
Oh, it had all of it, didn't it? It had all of it. It had stuff. It did everything. I think it was like a few $1,000. They said it was going to come out and never came out.
Yeah, I think it's. I mean, let me ask this: is what's the last big revolutionary thing, even outside of E3 in gaming? Like, gaming isn't really there. There's the things that we call revolutionary in gaming are not really.
Yeah, because gaming is just
for the disabled people.
Wow. Oh, I got another one. Uh-oh. I got another one. The cloud.
Oh, God.
We haven't
the
heard
cloud.
Cloud.
The cloud is everywhere. Battle rages on and on. I could see Microsoft talking and really hyping up that new controller for people with disabilities and showing new games working with that new controller. It's innovative, you know, because there's a lot of people that just can't play games and they're like, holy shit, they made something that I can use now. So I could see that.
Mirage Leonardo says Pokemon Go.
Oh, damn.
What's with that ball? What does it do?
What the ball? What, Pokeball?
Because, I mean, it's just
isn't
like
it a Pokemon monitor? To, yeah.
Because they're like, oh, yeah, you can imitate throwing him. Like, at what, the TV or your Switch? Why would you do that?
Yo, Paul says Crackdown 3. Damn. Yeah, the right, the cloud, the destructible environments, you know? That's crazy. Anybody else in the panel have any other answers for this? Innovations at E3? Again, I am drawing a blank.
Yeah. Labo.
Labo, that Labo. That was at even
E3.
No, but it was so impactful. It went back in time to E3, man.
Robbie Robo, the one from NES, remember that?
No, he wasn't on E3.
That was CES.
That was CES, man. I thought he was gonna be my best friend. It just never happened.
Then he made you play Gyromite, and you're like,
oh. Yeah. Why he's opening up the doors for me? We're gonna play everything together, and he's like, cannot compute, can't play.
Now we know why Adam doesn't like robots, man. Robbie fucked it up, you know?
I like robots. I don't like dinosaurs.
All right. Let's move on here to Swedish Gamer Dad. So his first question is E3 still the powerhouse trade show it once was? No, because it's not a trade show anymore. It's not a trade show anymore.
It is now a partial consumer show.
Yeah.
It's just a weekend party for gaming now. Because everyone's outside of the box and they're doing their own thing. It reminds me of like what happens with WrestleMania. It's like all the other promotions all flock to that area for WrestleMania, but they're not actually at WrestleMania. You know, they're in the area. They're doing other things on other days. They just know that the like-minded people are going to be in that area. So they're like, hey, come to this. Do that. Same shit. Everybody has their own events outside of E3.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this before. You already know my stance. I don't think E3 is as important, but it still is important because it is still the biggest gaming show in America, right? But it just doesn't have the same impact because before, back in the day, that was the only thing in the entire world. Right now, we have gaming conventions everywhere. We have a ton of them in America, but it is still the biggest one in America, and it is the place where most developers try to get their shit together for that one event at least. So it's important in that sense, but it's not important in the sense of like breaking news because look at this. For this year alone, everything's gotten fucking leaked already. You know, so
you know what's funny? The biggest one in the world is Gamescom. In Jersey.
In Jersey, Germany, shit, let's go.
Yeah, I was going to say Jersey. In Germany, but the thing is that they never really have any breaking news.
No, they don't.
Tons of people still go to that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, the impact of E3 is definitely diminished, but it's still pretty important, you know? And I think it's mostly because of you know, how long it's been around. It's because it's the first one that did something like that, you know? All right, guys, jump in. Come on.
We did it.
Was it more impactful than E3? Is that what you're asking?
No. The question is, do you think E3 still has the same impact it used to?
No, absolutely not. I mean, you can have EA go outside next door and rent the space and whatever. And there's other guys doing that. Like, no, it's not. And Sony now has PlayStation Experience. I mean, back in the day, even when Nintendo was able to have Space World, E3 was still the place to reveal stuff, right? Back then, not anymore. That's not even true. Like, there's been game reveals at freaking San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah, that's right.
No? So I don't think it has the same gravitas anymore.
No, definitely. You could just reveal your games on the internet, too, you know?
Right.
Yeah. On Twitch or whatever, you know?
Well, that's a shame, though, like, because it doesn't have the same impact. Like, let's... And somebody please correct me if I'm just, you know, romanticizing here, but I remember back in the day when E3 had more impact, video game news seemed to carry more weight. Now it's all just kind of dispersed through multiple avenues, through multiple shows or multiple leaks or anything like that. It's become this weird, the whole weekend news kind of trickles in, as opposed to, you know, oh, this big announcement used to hit and everybody got excited, and a big another announcement used to hit and everybody got excited. Now it just kind of peters in. The news doesn't filter through to everybody at the same time. So it's this kind of slow metered reveal that just doesn't have the same oomph to it. It doesn't get people as excited. I get that it's cheaper to, you know, just put up a trailer on Twitter or whatnot, and 4 months later maybe it's the same thing, but at least at the time it doesn't feel like the party that it did. And everybody's not celebrating the same game and getting it hyped up together. People are just like, oh, that's cool news, I read on Reddit.
It never will because of the internet. Internet ruined everything for everybody.
Yeah, no, that's true, because you're right about that. Before, you know, when like, you know, like this Fallout game, for example, probably would have hit bigger, you know, back in the day, maybe. You know what I'm saying? Because now there's just so many gaming sites, so many YouTube channels, Twitch, everything gets dispersed, so people don't. And then since you get so many announcements all the time, you kind of get numb to it. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah. And definitely, like the guys in the chat are saying, too, yeah, like, you know, like basically leaks. That shit's ruining everything too.
That's it. You know? Yeah, it's ruining. Back in the day, you just had magazines, and that was it.
Yeah,
you know.
Well, remember, we had a conversation not too long ago where we talked about how, like, E3 wasn't as big as it used to be, and how I forgot someone mentioned that it was getting replaced. It's like, oh well, something has to replace that. But what, like how Brett mentioned, it's like it's all dispersed into these like small little events. So it's like little mini E3s like throughout the whole year. And I kind of disagree with Brett about the impact. Usually during E3 they used to announce a whole bunch of stuff, and some stuff would get lost in the news. So sometimes, like when, for example, a Fallout or a Pokemon gets announced a couple of months or days or weeks before E3, if they're not meant for E3, then I think that's fine, since like we get to dedicate our time and days just talking about those specific announcements.
Do you remember what? Maybe it was one of the years of the Xbox 360 when Microsoft had an E3. Said, you know what? This is when they were pushing that every game had to have a demo, and they said every game that's going to be on the show floor is going to be on Xbox Live. You'll be able to play all the demos. So don't worry about waiting for the long lines if you're not here, because you'll be able to play. That was awesome. They don't do that shit anymore.
Yeah, we've been talking about that. It's like, all these companies should have demos out that week, you know, to get people excited at home. Yeah. But yeah, no, it definitely doesn't have the same impact anymore, man. Like, and I've said this, I know I gotten, you know, people got mad at me over this, but it's just the truth. If you remove E3 from the equation, it doesn't really hurt anything, because something will take up its place instantly, you know?
Well, all the big ones do their own shows anyway.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, you know?
That's it. There's no point. And they already have the following, and the internet's out there. So it's like, hey, we can spread the word. We don't need you to be the focal point. We could be the focal point.
Master Shake says E3 2015 and E3 2016 were insane and felt incredibly impactful. Really? Really? We were there. Me and Manny and Chris were there. They were good, you know, but it wasn't like crazy, you know?
Yeah, there was exciting news, but that's not to say that Sony couldn't have had that kind of conference on their own, right? They do that. What if they just saved all that shit for December?
Yeah, they could have done that, you know? Yeah. Like I know what you're talking about. That, you know, 2015, we had like a ton of reveals at the PlayStation thing. Yeah, but again,
you're confusing the content with the show.
Yes.
People held back that content, revealed it themselves, and still have that impact. But when we E3, it's from Sony or Microsoft or someone else, you know?
Yeah. No, well said. It would still have the same impact. It like, the impact of it doesn't get raised up just because it's at E3, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, great point there. All right, so let's move on here to the next question. How would you change the E3 formula to make it more accessible slash better for gamers and for the developers and publishers? Very interesting question. I don't exactly know how to answer this one. So I guess how would you make E3 better overall for everybody? Like, what would you do to change it?
Make it a trade show again?
Yeah. That'd be great, you know? I like that answer, you know?
Yeah, actually, Chris,
you just gave me an idea. Make it a trade show so the press guys get to do work, but release demos for everybody so the fans get some fun during that week, you know?
Absolutely. There you go. The guys who run E3 should be catering to the developers to get demos so that you can have the interaction without, you know, it's like the press needs to do their work. You can't just open up the floodgates because like money is great. You can have both. You can cut deals to get demos and stuff. In the meantime, you have the trade show press access so the press can do their job and at the same time. So everybody wins in that case. Also, like, okay, so you have VR, do some VR stuff. Be like, have a virtual tour of the show, or put a stupid camera in one of the main seats at each of the big three shows and be like, put on your VR headset and you're sitting there, you know?
Oh, shit.
That'd be cool. So,
that's a good idea.
Here's my question. If you guys think that E3 as a show is kind of become irrelevant because you could just release a trailer on Twitch or Twitter or YouTube or whatever and get the same kind of, you know, impact, then why do we even need journalists at E3? Why not just release the video on Twitter, have it be a completely consumer-based show, let everybody freak out about it,
I got an answer for that, because you're not going to get the type of developer interaction you do when Tony goes to a place and talks to a developer or whatever. A trailer's not going to give you that. Only a press person who's going to talk to developers and ask deeper questions about the content are you going to get. You're not going to get that from a trailer.
Oh, that's God. Chris, you know what they could do, though? Hold on. Let me get, you know what they could do, though? They could have Jeff Keighley in there asking these questions in the fucking trailer.
While he's eating Doritos?
Yeah. He's like, hey, guys.
I'm just saying that's how they could do it. It's like, hey, you want a professional perspective? Here's Jeff Keighley talking to these guys, you know?
No. I want a real perspective. Yes. I don't want that perspective, because that perspective is sponsored by some motherfucker.
But this is what I'm confused about. Like, either people, A, want a professional perspective, in which case E3 is justified and necessary as a place to, you know, come together and get those professional opinions, or it doesn't matter, like you guys have said before, and therefore it doesn't matter if journalists are let in because people don't care about professional opinions. All they care about is trailers.
No, but that you're painting everybody with a broad brush. There's people, there's casuals who don't care about E3, who don't even know it exists. So they'll need a trailer, go, ooh, that looks interesting, right? They need to be spoon-fed that info. There's guys who are watching this show now who are like hungry for info and they want to know everything. They'll follow that stuff, right? So that's the thing. And not every gamer is going to pursue that information.
But doesn't that argue against your guys' argument of that E3 is irrelevant then, because there are people...
Okay, hold on, Brett. Why are we saying E3 is irrelevant?
You guys have said that before. No, I'm asking.
What do you mean? We just said it today. One of the reasons we say E3 is irrelevant is because there's a million other shows out there that are doing the same thing E3 is doing. Understand? So, hold on, whoa. We've never said that you shouldn't have events. We never said those aren't important. I'm not saying that either.
I'm saying, if you feel E3 is irrelevant, then why is it so important that journalists get preferential treatments? You say E3 is irrelevant.
All right, let's stop right there. We never said E3 is irrelevant. We're saying it's not as relevant as it used to be. It is still an important show, and I said this. It is still an important show, just not as important. So let's get the irrelevant part out of there, because we never said that.
Okay, that's where I was mistaken.
Yeah, let's get that out of there. We never said that. We're just saying it doesn't have the same impact. And if you got rid of E3, somebody else would just take its place doing the same thing. So E3 itself... it is important in the sense of it's the biggest game show in America. But if you were to move E3, there's a bunch of other places you go to, you know, get your gaming show like fixed. You know what I'm saying? But yeah.
So we've been in complete agreement on this the whole time. I thought we were at odds on that end.
I think we're all agree. It's like, I don't think any sane person is going to sit here and say E3 has the exact same impact today that it did 10 years ago. It doesn't.
No, it doesn't. You know? No. But it's still... as an input. It's still important. It's just not as important.
Yes,
it was
the
place to get all that info. Yeah, I mean, 10 years, you're 50s, like in the 90s when you started Booth Babes and all this shit. You didn't have internet. You had AOL groups. Like, you didn't have Reddit or anything. So E3 is where you got all that deep news, man.
Yeah.
You know?
This is what I said before. I said Gamescom back in the day used to be Europe's answer to E3. Now E3 is our answer to Gamescom. It shows you how like E3's influence has diminished because they're trying to be like everything else, but they're still important because they're still the biggest show in America, you know?
Okay, so then to answer the question of what could they do to make it better, like I'd like to see E3 become the centralized version or the centralized place for game announcements. Like just stop petering this shit out through all the year, get together as an industry and decide that this is going to be the time when, you know, everybody's going to do this. Stop trying to play. Everybody needs to stop trying to play their own game because it's kind of taking away from the relevance of E3. I think if everybody decided like, yeah, okay, like we're going to have showings at another show, but we're going to do our announcements when everybody does their announcements so that everybody pulls a focal spotlight onto this one big event, which was kind of the idea before. Short of that, I don't see any way to fix. And there's no way to get back to where it was because, as these guys have said, the internet. The only way that it could even be brought part of the way back is, again, if it were the central hub for most game announcements. But there are so many other shows that things are being announced at by now that it just takes away the importance.
Yeah, and you can't put the genie back in the bottle now at this point either, you know?
So, I mean, you kind of might be able to because that was the idea in the beginning. When they were trying to get a bunch of press coverage, it wasn't a bad idea to get together and say, look, if we all get together and throw this big party, this party itself, by the fact that, you know, 300 of us are here, is going to get more press coverage than any of us could get by ourselves. So we'll throw this big party. We'll all make our announcements at this time. It'll bring in all of these reporters, and then each of us has a chance of sharing, you know, a smaller slice of this much bigger spotlight. But ever since then, everybody's become so competitive. They're like, no, I would rather have the entire spotlight of a much smaller spotlight. And that, I think, is the problem. You could still get a lot of big game companies together and being like, you know what, we'd really like to focus on the importance of E3, so we're going to save some of our announcements until then. And, you know, if you know, by a bunch of people doing that, then, yeah, then the next E3, a bunch of people would be, you know, foaming at the mouth.
I don't think, I mean, and this is just selfishly, I guess, I wouldn't want E3 to monopolize gaming announcements. I like the fact that we have PSX at the end of the year. We have Gamescom, we have the Tokyo Game Show, we have like all these other avenues where, and obviously those Nintendo Directs and the random like Bethesda Fallout announcements. Like, I like those kinds of things kind of trickled out throughout the year because it gives us stuff to talk about throughout the year. If everything was just announced during E3, or at least the whole chunk of it, or most of the chunk of it was in E3, then we'd only have one week out of the year to look forward to for gaming announcements.
Well, what if
but that's the way it used E3? To be back
if,
in the
what
day.
What if we're like E3, GamesCon, and the Tokyo Games Conference? Like, literally each country has a big one-off game show, and you just stayed away from companies making their own things. Like I agree with that until you get to the PSX at the end of the year. Like, I don't understand why Nintendo and Sony need to have their own press conferences when they couldn't just play with everybody else. That's the thing that gets me.
But if they could make their own announcement on their own terms, why wouldn't they? You know what I mean? It makes sense for them to do a PSX or whatever that.
It really doesn't, though, because let's put it in sheer numbers. Like, if PlayStation were announcing something and they could get 100 reporters who are interested in their PlayStation thing to come and cover it, right? If they went to a conference that also had Xbox and Nintendo, they might be able to get 200 reporters. Now, granted, 100 of those reporters aren't necessarily interested in Sony news, but if you drop a big enough bombshell, you'll get the attention of all 200 of those. What Sony's doing isn't necessarily better, it's safer. They're only getting fanboys in the room. They are only getting an echo chamber. There's nobody there that is going to really super criticize the things they put out, but they're also not getting the chance to put their product in front of people who aren't looking for the message of their product. The only people that tune into that are already Sony fanboys. That's not a place that you're going to grab the attention of somebody who's an Xbox fanboy or a Nintendo fanboy.
But if you're an Xbox guy, you're not going to tune into the PlayStation conference during E3 anyway. You're not interested in that.
No, but there's so many reporters there, and there's so much buzz going around E3 that you're going to catch wind of it in the kind of revelry of the mass celebration. That's my point. That was the whole point of why it was put together. Yeah, I may not go to the Xbox panel, but if they're releasing news at E3, even if I'm only going to E3 for the PlayStation panel, I'm still going to hear about Xbox's news. It's gonna trickle outwards.
But Brett, look at it this way, and we talked about this earlier. The whole Sony disc with Microsoft. Mm-hmm. After Microsoft's press conference and Sony dissed them with, oh, you know how to share a game? This is how you share it. And everyone was like, oh shit. Then Microsoft just immediately just lost all the like market share of attention that they would have gotten if they just did it by themselves in a secluded time.
It's much riskier, and that's the thing. It's
no, but
bigger,
you asked, but,
bigger risk, bigger well, reward.
But you asked Brett, like, why do they do that, and what's the benefit? And I'm saying if they get 100% of people's attention instead of half of it, or maybe less than half of it, then that's too big of a risk for a company to take.
It's a safe play, and that's exactly my problem. Is like it's lower risk, lower reward, and they're going for the safer of the two. Yeah, like it's much easier to hold a convention in just an echo chamber because nobody's going to criticize you, and that's the exact point. If you put yourself out in public, where not everybody's a fanboy, and you get criticized, especially if it's legitimate, then yes, you've generated bad news, and that's always a risk of doing that kind of thing. But I don't think the answer to having a little bit of risk is to go hide
in
the corner.
Wait, hold on. But the reporters that are at the Xbox conference are the same guys going to PlayStation Experience. So how you think those reporters are just suddenly going to decide, hey, I'm going to just write good about Sony? That doesn't work like that. And also the thing is, whether it's Xbox, whether it's PSX or E3, all those trailers are still going to be shown on the internet. So they're going to get the same amount of scrutiny and attention regardless. It's like PlayStation Experience doesn't get less attention. It gets the same amount of attention as E3 because it's also on the internet. Understand? So
I think it gets the same amount of attention. It just does to people who run in Sony circles. And it seems that way because, let's be honest, a lot of us run in people who are Sony circles. But if you
but again, if you're an Xbox guy,
don't have a PlayStation, they don't give a fuck about PSX.
No, no, I understand that, but the thing is, if you're an Xbox guy, you don't give a fuck about what Sony's doing during E3 either. Understand?
You don't give a fuck about E3, and in the midst of all that E3 announcements, like the whole point is to spread the news further, and by like, what I'm getting confused about is if you don't see the validity of this, then what do you think the whole point of doing E3 in the first place was? Because the whole premise.
No,
the
I understand, but that, E3. But my point. No, Brad, I understand. But the thing is, the original reason for doing E3 is no longer valid in this day and age. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
I say it's not as valid, but I still think it has some validity. I still think you would see a boost if you made a big fucking weekend about it and more people participated. One of the biggest problems, and it's the same way with Comic-Con, and I experienced this firsthand. Like, yes, I'm super excited to go to Comic-Con. I went to Comic-Con, and I went to Comic-Con again, like San Diego Comic-Con. And even in, like, the few years that I was going / looking to go, watching the huge major distributors drop out, like, the fact that Marvel didn't go all of a sudden made me not want to go about 10%, made me want to go about 10% less because it delegitimized it. They're like, you're going to San Diego Comic-Con, DC doesn't bother to show up, Marvel doesn't bother to show up, none of the big – movie producers bother to show up. There's like no game company that year or anything like that. Like there's just nothing big there. And so all of a sudden you're like, it's one of the reasons I haven't pushed for hard to go back to San Diego Comic-Con, because what the fuck is the point? Like if the major people aren't going to make it there, then I don't give a fuck. And yes, I would absolutely go to a Marvel panel. Am I going to tune into Marvel's little, you know, YouTube announcement thing? No, go fuck yourself. I don't care that much. I'm just interested enough to walk by and see what's going on, to hear any big announcements in the midst of all this other stuff. But I don't really care all that much. And quite frankly, I have so many weird nerve interests sprinkled all the way everywhere that I don't have the time or the energy to constantly be checking up on every little one of them. That's why things like new seasons of shows that I love to have a tendency to sneak up on me, because I haven't heard about them. Because even though I love them, I just don't have the time or the energy to go to all these places. So I would absolutely love a centralized location that gave me the news that I wanted and, you know, put it all in one place. And I wish that San Diego Comic-Con was still that, because now all this news is so spread out everywhere that it's not really worth tracking down anymore. And I don't want to go back to Comic-Con again because nobody big bothers to show up. So I know for a fact that my interest has been reduced, and the amount of money that I have put into the industry has been reduced as a direct result of that. And I can't help but think that even if it's just 10%, that there has to be a little bit of that. That can't be isolated to just me and just the comic industry, can it?
I don't know, but here's the thing, though. It's like you say all this news is spread out, which it is in the sense that there's a million websites. But can't you just be like, okay, here's my favorite gaming website. I'm going to get all my news from them. They're going to have you covered. You're not going to miss anything. Just be like, whether the news is shown at E3 or at PSX, your favorite gaming website is still going to cover this stuff. So you're not going to miss it. You know what I mean? My thing is, I feel like they're sending everything centralized, but E3 now.
But I feel like E3 is being less covered, and with the addition
of E3 is more covered now than ever with a million sites now. What are you talking about, dude?
There are more sites covering it. Like, it feels like they're sending either less people out there, and I'm sure part of this is the fact that reporters are having trouble getting past the consumers and the actual crowd to get into things. But
have you seen how many shows Throwdown's going to have this year?
We're kind of the exception in the sense that we're actively trying to battle the fact that there are so many people there that it's hard to get stuff. But in the last few years, in E3 especially, it's I've heard a lot less hands-on news and a lot more retweeting about trailers. And yeah, there's 90 million fucking sites doing that, but that's all that they're doing. They don't really have that many boots on the ground.
To be fair, the big sites have absolutely no fucking problem getting people into. And I'm going to say, and this is just me personally, though it was annoying to get to each appointment, I got to each of my appointments just fine, and I got to play every game I had in my schedule just fine. And I'm just a middle guy, you know what I'm saying? So there's plenty of coverage out there. You just need to know where to look. Like I said, you find your favorite site out there, they'll hook you up. They're going to give you all the news. You're not going to miss anything. And it really doesn't matter when it happens, whether it could be PAX East or PSX or Gamescom or Tokyo Game Show or whatever, you know? If you want a centralized place for news, the internet's your centralized place for news now, you know? That's all I'm saying. Anyway, very good conversation. We went off track, but that was a good one. I don't know if we all answered this question, though, but whatever. Adam, any ideas for how to make E3 better?
No.
Okay.
They're already doing it. Just separate. That's it.
Manny, any ideas?
I mean, they're trying something this year. I mean, there's still quite a bit of growing pains happening with this, with the show. Like, they're still at the same time not only trying to be an industry show, but be a consumer show. I mean, I bring up the biggest thing out of it, which is like, okay, so now, you know, obviously now these places, you know, like Square Enix and a bunch of other places are actually selling merchandise at their booths. So the thing is that there's like a limit on the size of bag that you can bring inside of the place now. So like, okay, you buy a bunch of stuff. So what are you going to do? So, okay, in the inside, you get like a big bag, right? Sometimes they give away these huge bags so people can put all their things in there. But the catch behind that is the fact that once you get that bag and you leave the damn place, you can't come back in with that same bag that you just got inside, because it's larger than the allowed size of bag that you can bring in. So what you have to do after that is you literally have to go to one of the bag check locations, which costs you $10. And there is no guarantee that they will actually take your bag. So either huff it back to your hotel, drop your shit off, or you're assed out of luck. Ask a friend to hang out with your fucking stuff outside of the goddamn convention. It just doesn't seem like they're doing this the right way. You know, they have to look at shit like Comic-Con. They have to look at shit like all these other situations where they allow these sorts of things to come in. And how is a place like New York Comic-Con or San Diego Comic-Con able to let these, you know, let people come in with all their comics and things to sign and bring, you know, bring the bags that they want to bring? Mm-hmm. And then E3 can't figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, I said this before. It just seems to me like E3 is like, okay, guys, we're going to figure out how to do a gaming convention without looking at how other people do conventions. You know, it's like, exactly. Hey, we're going to invent the wheel, guys. It's like, you're going to talk to the guys that already made the wheel? It's like, no. We'll figure this shit out. We're good. We don't need to talk to them.
Just talk to the one convention that – the two conventions that managed to have that shit right. You talk to friggin' Gamescom. You talk to Tokyo Game Show, who's been doing that shit for years. They have that thing down to a fucking science. Dude,
talk to Reed Pop and you'll be straight. You know?
Yeah. You talk to Reed Pop, who does like 10 PAXs all over the planet. You telling me that you can't figure this shit out? Come on, guys.
Yeah, and say what you will about PAX. PAX has run way fucking better than E3, you know? Way fucking better. Everybody gets their shine. Journalists, and gamers all get their time. They're not wasting their time there. Think about this. If you're a consumer, you're spending hundreds of dollars on a flight in a hotel for the chance to sit for hours on a fucking line to play a game for 5 minutes. It's fucking bullshit. You know, a PAX doesn't have that problem. You know, you can play a bunch of games, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy, and that also helps out the smaller, independent journalists and shit. They get to play a bunch of games too, you know.
Exactly.
Oh my God, Manny, could you imagine if E3 was the way it is now? Back when we first started, we wouldn't have played shit.
We wouldn't have gotten anywhere. Any of the coverage that we did.
On my E3.
Yeah, the first E3 we went to, I covered 12 games. I didn't have a single appointment that year. I just went to every booth and played, you know. Yep. Now you can't do that now. It's fucked up, you know, like for the you know, gamers that are paying all this money and the independent journalist guys. It's fucked up, you know. Anyway, let's move on here to Master Shake. I hope it's still in the room. What's going on, Jack Move? My man's chilling in the room right now, you know. All right, so okay, the first question is, what would be the effect of Square Enix showing off something significant about Final Fantasy Remake at E3, such as Aeris art and voice, explaining how the combat will work, etc.? My question is, does anybody even care about this anymore?
What'd you say, Brett?
Not I.
Yeah, I know. Brett, you were in, by the way, people, Brett was the most excited for this in the panel. My man's already done, you know?
Yeah.
I don't care. I don't care. The thing is, I didn't care originally, so whatever. You know, if I want to play Final Fantasy VII, I could either go play myself or watch Riku play it on the Throwdown channel.
Plug.
You know? Eh.
The whole thing is just so badly executed. Be like, hey, everybody. You love chocolate chip cookies. Remember chocolate chip cookies? I was like, yeah, I love chocolate chip cookies. Like, all right, we're going to give you chocolate chip cookies again. We're going to make a big old fresh batch. Except here's the thing. We're not going to use chocolate. We're going to use raisins. We're going to use whole grain oats. We're going to sprinkle some carrots in there for no apparent reason. And we're going to splice it up so we can give you the flour, the baking soda, and the sugar, and then the water. So, you know, have fun. They're like, so wait a minute. This is basically just the ingredients for an oatmeal raisin cookie. They're like, oh, yeah, you love oatmeal raisin cookies, right? No, it's, I don't want fucking Final Fantasy 15 again. I want Final Fantasy 7. The fuck is wrong with you people?
Yeah, man. And the other thing is, like, apparently, if you believe the rumors, they actually had to restart the development of this game because the first time they were doing it, it didn't work right. So they redid the whole shit again, you know?
Well, how does it not work right?
I don't know. They said something happened along development. They had to stop it and start all over again. It's like, what? Just remake the old graphics. That's it.
Exactly. That's my point. It's like, how do you get lost on a game that already has a roadmap?
God. I don't get it. So we're probably never going to see this game, people. Like, you know, you're going to be like, oh, but they've been developing for 3 years. They stopped developing the shit. That's what I'm telling you. They restarted it recently, so...
The fact that it's been in development, even if it has been, the fact that it's been in development for 3 years would be a huge red flag if we have heard this little about it.
Yeah.
Why is it that Square Enix games are always like this? Like, their major games, like, always take a fucking decade to make, you know? Kingdom Hearts 3, fucking Final Fantasy 15. Now Final Fantasy 7 Remake is going to be one of these games too, really? Like, the game already exists.
Honestly, because I think it's because they treat their audience as just this evergreen well of money that whenever they can fuck the off and then be like, every time they need money, they're like, oh shit, sales have been down and our new products have been pushing. Go ahead and start the new Kingdom Hearts. We're gonna need some money inflowing here. Like, they just view it as this
well that can be tapped, and it's not a huge priority. In fact, it should be the tent poles that are carrying their studio, because otherwise they're kind of fucking irrelevant. I haven't seen them coming out with any new giant games that are going down in the history books. Have you guys?
Well, you mean the Square Enix Japanese company? Because Square Enix itself has been doing some dope games. The Tomb Raiders, Deus Ex.
Yeah, yeah, the Japanese Hitman. Companies. Yeah, not as a publisher.
Yeah, I you know what? I'm going to keep it real right now. I think if it wasn't for those Western developers, Square Enix would not even be really relevant right now, you know?
Yeah.
All the Eidos games?
What happened, Carlos?
All the Eidos games?
Yeah, the Eidos games and Crystal Dynamics, they're the ones that are really keeping Square Enix afloat right now. Let's just be honest, you know? And it's funny because the Japanese side are like, oh, these games aren't, you know, selling as much as we want to. It's like 8 million copies of a game is pretty fucking good, guys. Chill the fuck out. By the way, okay, so Master Sake, just so you guys who don't know, he says, okay, originally Cyber Connect 2 was working on a Final Fantasy VII remake. Square Enix didn't like what they were doing, so they scrapped it. Now they're doing the game themselves. So everything that we've known about the game may not even apply anymore. And maybe they'll give us what we really want. The original game just with nicer graphics. That would be fantastic. Nobody needs Final Fantasy 15, you know.
Well, knowing Square, they're probably going to try to mess around with that tech demo they showed at E3 for like when the PS3 reveal. Remember
somebody needs to go back in time and erase that thing from history, because that's what started all this. That's what nobody was asking for a Final Fantasy VII remake before that shit, you know?
Because they probably released that and they're like, if we were to make Final Fantasy today, this is what it'll look like.
Yeah.
And but everyone lost their minds.
Why would you do that?
Yeah, man.
Why? What even compels you to be like, hey, you know the most beloved and remembered thing that we've ever done? Well, we could make it way better. We're not going to, but this is what it would look like if we did. And then they're shocked when people are like, can you actually make that? Yes. No. Oh, wait, we're out of money? Yes, we can.
Yeah, they paint themselves into a corner, man. They should not have released that fucking bullshit.
It wasn't bullshit. I agree with you on half of it. My half is when they released it and they got the response they did, they should have been like, oh, yeah, we're idiots. We should have anticipated this. We need to remake this game. Can we get somebody on that called Derek and have him get this thing greenlit now?
You know, no, I agree with you. Once they put it out there, it's like, guys, now you have the responsibility. You paint yourselves in that fucking corner. But my thing is, they should not have released it in the first place, man.
If everything had gone according to plan and we lived in a world where they did respond to the response and make a remake of it, then we would be having an entirely different conversation. Then we'd be saying, when Square Enix really keyed it off is when they made that trailer and then sold a shitload of Final Fantasy VII remakes that they got so much money from. We'd be having that conversation if they actually pulled it off. The only reason we're saying they shouldn't have put it out was because they failed so badly at the follow-up.
Yeah. By the way, the conversation if that happened, you know, theoretically speaking, if that happened, the conversation we'd be having now is us getting hyped for the PS4 remake of the Final Fantasy VII remake that came out on PS3. You know? That's what we'd be getting hyped. I'm like, yo, they're going to remake, they're going to put it on PS4, son? You know?
It'd be like Shadow of the Colossus kind of thing. It'd just be this, like, beloved thing that they want to re-release just about once a generation so everybody and their mother can continue to play it.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And we'd be talking about the PC port of it, too. Man, Square Enix, you fucked up. All right. Let's move on here. The second question is, which game will make a bigger splash at E3? Pokemon or Cyberpunk 2077?
Really?
That's his question.
Those are two different
yeah, those audiences. Yeah, the audience that buys Pokemon.
It's going to be Pokemon.
Which one? They got two different.
The Pokemon
it doesn't
Switch,
matter. Yeah. Pokemon fans are rabid.
Yeah, I'm going to go. I don't give a fuck about it. It's going to be Pokemon. Pokemon fans are nuts.
Oh, yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
I don't think it's even a question.
I was going to say, yeah.
They could announce Pokemon Snap 2, and people would still flip their shit.
Yeah.
I don't think you're going to find any disagreement here, so we'll go on to the next question. Actually, the last one of the night from Mirage Leonardo 84. So, by the way, Leonardo, you asked three fucking questions, man. So, I'm only going to answer two of these, you know? So, the first one is, do you think Devil May Cry 5 will be at E3? This is all part of the same question. Do you think Devil May Cry 5 will be at E3? And if by some chance it isn't, would you like to see an Onimusha game? I think didn't they already say that WarioWare 5 is going to be at E3? I think they already confirmed that. I could be wrong, but I think
I saw something about that.
Yeah. And
or maybe it could have been one of those leaks. To be fair,
yeah. But I heard about Devil May Cry 5 months ago, though. You know, I think they're at least developing it. You know, we'll see. You know, we'll see. As for Onimusha, the question is, would you like? I never play these games. I don't care, so I don't care. You know, don't care.
Yeah, I've never played them either. Devil May Cry. Yeah, I mean, I think it's a strong possibility it'll come out this E3.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it'll come. They'll get announced at least, you know.
Yeah, we'll get a poster.
Yeah, there you go. You know, Mirage says Pokemon got delayed 2019. I didn't know it was coming out this year. Okay.
Neither did I.
Which one?
Pokemon, the Pokemon Switch game.
They announced it.
Oh, the Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee comes out this year.
Yeah, Master Shake says DMC5 and Resident Evil 2 remake are supposed to be the two Capcom games. Emphasis on supposed to be. We don't know yet. You know, it'll get leaked tomorrow morning. Watch. You know, but yeah, Onimusha. Does anybody in here care? You know, Chris, I'm looking at you.
Onimusha? Yeah. It'd be nice to have, but no, I haven't thought about that game in a long time. As a matter of fact, like by the third game, I was just like, the second game sucked. The first game was really the one that was worth a damn. But it's just Samurai Resident Evil, so.
Yeah. Hussein, I'm adding your fucking question. That is beautiful. Carlos, give me that one. That shit is hilarious. Uh-oh. Does anybody care about Onimusha here?
Not really.
I don't think anybody gives a fuck. All right. So,
I mean, it's nice that they want to do it, but it's not something that would make me instantly go buy. I kind of was already done with PlayStation by the time those games have already came out.
I don't care. All right. So the next question is, do you think Nintendo will show us some new IPs that are not Zelda, not Mario, blah, blah, blah? Chris, you go first, man.
Oh,
go ahead. Whoever's getting excited, go first.
Oh, that was me. Well, part of that weird leak of supposedly all the games that they were going to announce actually mentioned a new Punch-Out.
Oh, but that's not a new IP, though.
That's not a new IP.
But, no, but it's new. Like
that's probably the Wii one that came out with a little while ago.
That'd be cool if they did like a real story with Little Mac.
I'm down for that. Punch-Out was fucking awesome. Mm-hmm. You know?
Oh,
but yeah, will we get any new IPs from Nintendo? I don't think so. I don't think so.
No,
I don't think so. Brett, I'm looking at you now.
What? I must have missed something. Did we move on to a question or something
yes,
like that?
Yes. Do you think Nintendo will show a new IP at E3?
That rhymes. No. No. Nintendo, wait. I got to take this chance to make a dig here. By new IP, do you mean an actual new IP or will Nintendo show us an actual used IP with a new game? Because if you're asking if they're actually going to show a new IP, when was the last time they did that?
Pikmin, maybe?
And how old is that now?
Yeah, like 20 years probably.
Yeah, so chances of Nintendo dropping a new IP are fucking slim to none.
Well, a new franchise, maybe. Like the last
new
one.
Franchise, yes, not a new IP. That's why I was making the distinction.
Yes.
Okay, Dick answer out of the way. What the possibility of them announcing a new franchise? I think it's probably pretty good. They've got something in the works. It's probably something we've heard leaks or rumors about, so we probably won't be surprised. But
by the way, I love the guys in the chat. Arms was actually a new IP. There you go.
Mm-hmm. I guess it was.
Yeah, Arms was. And Splatoon before that.
Yeah, Splatoon is another one. That's right.
Yeah, I'm not a big Splatoon fan. But I guess a lot of people are like, I'm actually really torn on Splatoon. I have trouble getting a bead on whether it's just got a small and fanatic fan base or whether it's a big thing.
Well, I mean, those Nintendo guys need to play something.
You know.
Which means they're going to spend a third of this conference talking about Smash Brothers. Which is not new.
Yeah. By the way, Hussein, we actually already talked about Blue Point, so I'm going to give you one more chance to ask another question, my friend. We actually did talk about Blue Point at the top of the show. So anyway, Nintendo ain't coming out with any new IP. Get the fuck out of here.
Have they officially announced the Pokemon game yet, or is that still just everybody knows it's coming?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, it's official.
Like, what do we officially know about it?
It is a Pokemon game coming to Switch.
Do we know anything beyond that? I mean, do we know any details? Do we know if it's a port? Do we know if it's a remake?
Yes.
No game.
So, it's going to be a port of the it's a remake of the Pokemon Yellow, which is going to be called Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee. It's going to get released later on this year. And next year is going to be a brand new Pokemon game for the Switch. Both of them are the RPGs.
Carlos, both of them are going to be RPGs. Obviously, I'm not questioning you here, but for some reason, when you said the first part of that, it felt like you were like trolling right now. Is that actually true?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Let's go Pikachu, Let's Go Eevee. That's coming out November of this year.
Yeah.
Okay, I was like, is this man trolling right now? What the fuck?
Remember, it's just a remake. It's like Heart Gold and Soul Silver. It's a remake of Pokemon Yellow.
Mm-hmm.
But they're adding as a starter, Yellow was the starter, was Pikachu. This time you could have either Pikachu or Eevee.
Yo, Big Daddy, what's up? Again, remember the question was, you know, did they have new IPs? He goes, Labo, nigga. Sure, why not? You crazy, man.
Yo, is Labo going to be a fighter in Smash Brothers?
Oh, yeah. What's the
oh, my God. Freaking... The Labo robot might be. It might be. Oh, Chris, right? Why did you say that?
I'm making that prediction right now. There's going to be a Labo fighter in Smash Brothers.
It transforms into a Labo keyboard and puts you to sleep and shit.
Oh, God. No, they're going to do it. They're going to do it. Oh.
Play this show back after E3, guys. I'm making that call now.
You know? Wonderful 101. Yeah. Yeah. That is the new IP. You guys are good, man.
Yeah, I was just supposed
to. But if it comes out on Switch, it'll be a remake.
Yeah, that's true. Reckless Fox says Labo is the anti-Rob. Man. You guys are hardcore, man. Pokemon Let's Burn in Hell. Damn, son. All right, so let's move on here. And Hussein, man, get that next question in here. We're about to wrap this up soon.
Oh, he did.
Yep.
Oh, my man. All right, so his first question is, this one is fucking glorious. Who is going to be the Pusha T or Drake of E3? Who is holding that L? Carlos, you go first, man.
Oh, man. by the way, a Drake song starts like that. Oh, man. Anyways. Man, it's hard to answer this question without making us sound like complete fanboys. So I'm gonna say, well, all right, I'm just gonna say it.
Keep I know this going.
Microsoft's gonna be the Drake, and Sony's gonna be the Pusha T. That's all I gotta say, man.
Everybody knows Microsoft's gonna be the Drake, though. Like, what do they got going into this? They're walking into this thing woefully unprepared, unless they have been really good at keeping secrets.
Yeah, and we know, like, every year it's the same story, man. Like, it's hard to be optimistic about a Microsoft press conference where every year we expect them to have something, but they never have anything.
Damn, Hussein said the Drake box X. Yeah, I mean, Pusha. Okay, he also says Pusha Station T.
Sony's gonna bring out how Microsoft has all these like. They're like dead. They're a deadbeat dad to all their franchises.
Oh my God!
Can we put? You know what? While we're talking shit, I want to put together my own E3 sizzle reel of all Microsoft's exclusives.
Ooh.
Oh damn! That's pretty brutal.
That would not. I don't even have to elaborate off that. Oh yeah, that would not be good.
Yeah. That
I'm trying to decide if it would be just. A couple of games put on loop or just 30 seconds of black screen and footage not found.
Damn. But they got Minecraft in 4K, though.
Oh. Ooh, ooh,
All right, man.
That, you know, that's I can't let that one. That still sticks to my craw. You may have Minecraft in 4K. You still have the shitty Minecraft in 4K. You still have babies Minecraft in 4K. In fact, you can't even play Minecraft as well as a PC player. It's just... It's shameful enough that you shouldn't be bringing it up.
Damn.
That's like being like, I'm so strong, I can bench 45 pounds. Like, you may just not want to, may just want to check that one off the list, not even bring it up. Doesn't look good for you.
Microsoft ain't taking care of their children.
Bro.
Yo.
Dude, I would. Dude, Microsoft is like the Bobby Brown of game companies. Damn.
I didn't say it. I didn't say it.
Oh, you know it's true.
Ooh, I want you. That's not Bobby Brown, obviously. Damn. All right, so I'll stop right now before we get us in trouble here. And the last question here is, which series is most likely to get a reboot or a remake? So out of these three, which one do you think will be most likely to get one? And I guess it'd be announced at E3. Dino Crisis. Ugh, the second one hurts my soul. Soul Reaver or Vagrant Story?
It hurts your soul because you know that's not the one that's going to happen.
I know, man.
And we already know which one hurts Adam's soul.
You know?
Dino Crisis.
I think Dino Crisis is the best chance of coming back.
Yeah, especially because Capcom loves remaking games. I could see that one. Vagrant Story I could kind of see too. Imagine, oh my god, imagine if they make a remake of Vagrant Story before Final Fantasy VII. That'd be hilarious.
Ooh. What if we get Dino Crisis in one of the as a mini game in one of the flagship Capcom games?
Yeah.
Dude, with the success of Monster Hunter, you know they're looking, the rest of Capcom is looking around being like, what can we do to try and mimic this?
I'm surprised there haven't been more it's still kind of early, but I wonder if there's gonna be a lot of Monster Hunter clones now.
Well, they're bringing the Switch Monster Hunter over here. So there's
no something. But I mean the actual Monster Hunter, but a clone of Monster
Hunter. Wouldn't that be funny? Because remember how there were a bunch of Monster Hunter clones back in the day on Vita? Imagine if now we start getting a bunch of Monster Hunter clones on consoles.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be crazy.
Because Monster Hunter World was a huge success.
Yeah. Guys in the chat, remember, do you honestly believe Soul Reaver has a better chance of being announced in those other games? All right, come on, guys. Let's be real here.
In a perfect world, it does, because Soul Reaver is really – it's due for a reboot, man. The problem is, and I think a lot of people know this, is it's actually getting past the point where it's overdue for a reboot. A whole lot longer, and it's going to be lost to the sands of time. You can only refresh something so far afterwards without losing a huge chunk of the original audience.
Or what they did was worse. They released that shitty Nosgoth game. Oh, God.
Well, that's the thing that makes me think that there might be some hope, that they still haven't given up on the franchise, that they still think that they there's a chance for it to catch public appeal. But the Nosgoth thing was I'm so torn on that, because on one hand, it was them making a Legacy of Kain universe game. On the other hand, it was them clearly not being able to, or not feeling comfortable enough to commit to the franchise, because they don't know if the audience is still there. So they're like, yeah, for people in the know, this is a Legacy of Kain game. For people not in the know, this is its own other thing. So I'm torn. You know, Space Filler, do you guys think that's an indication of them having faith in the franchise enough to bring it back, or not enough faith in the franchise for it to be recognizable?
Here's the thing, and correct me if I'm wrong, in either here or the guys in the chat room there, from what I understand, Nosgoth was basically a Super Mario Brothers 2 situation. This game already existed, and they just slapped this other name in there at the last minute.
Actually, no, it wasn't. It was the online mode to the canceled actual sequel another sequel, that Soul Reaver. Damn. In fact, you can find that version of the game, from Unseen 64, and a bunch of other people have these videos about it where there was a beta that leaked. Gotcha. So yeah, it was going to be a game, but it didn't happen. And they had the online mode kind of being developed by another team, which was doing better than the actual game, because it was kind of it was just not working out right for them. And the thing about this game, it wasn't even going to have Kain or anything like that. It was going to have the name of it. It was going to be called Legacy of Kain something, but it was going to be a weird sort of soft reboot of the Soul Reaver game.
Gotcha. Yeah, I knew it was something like that. Also, apparently they had three or four games. Thank you, Reckless Fox, for following on YouTube. So they had three or four games already kind of working prototypes, and they canceled all of them. So yeah, I don't know if they have any faith in this fucking franchise. Also, Leonardo asked, he says, technically, didn't Legacy of Kain have a proper ending with Legacy of Kain's Defiance? Yes, it did. That's why we're asking for a reboot of the franchise. We understand that the game's ended, but we want more of them, you know? That's all we're saying. But anyway,
there's also a ton of time skips. Like,
yes,
they jump millennia in that series. There's so much room for middle stories.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not usually a prequel fan because the world is usually already too set in stone for there to be any actual consequence. But literally, in one Soul Reaver game, there is a world. Like in the first Legacy of Kain game, you're in the human world. By the time you get to the second one, it's this weird hybrid one. And by the time you get to like the Soul Reaver series, humanity, as you know it, like you can't even recognize that this was ever Earth or that there was ever really humanity there. There have been vampires there for so long. They've transformed the landscape and evolved into different species. It is an unprecedented time jump. You could literally tell any story in that interim and have any consequence from the main character dies to they kill the bad guy to they destroy the entire world. It's one of the few instances of a prequel where you have free rein to do literally anything and not be boxed in by the game that comes after. The only thing that you couldn't do is kill Kain. That is literally the only thing you couldn't do in a prequel.
Yeah. So yeah, there you go. You don't even need to reboot the franchise. There's just so many like ages there, you know, to play with. But yeah, anyway, to answer the proper question, I think Dino Crisis probably has the better chance of getting a remake, especially with Capcom's proclivity towards remakes, you know, or reboots, you know, whatever. Actually, probably remasters, what they probably do. It's crazy, man. All right, I think that's going to do it for us here. So a couple of things before we wrap up. So again, there will not be a Throw Down Your Questions next Sunday on June the 10th. Episode 187 will return on June 17th. So wait until E3 is over and leave us questions in the comment section of this episode 186 for episode 187. And then the Monday after that, we're going to do a live AMA, which is going to be episode 188, where you guys get to ask us whatever you want, you know, just to make up the number differences and stuff. And then obviously during E3, we're going to have a bunch of shit. So here comes the graphic again. Bam. All right. So obviously we already, the first one here, we already checked that off the list here. Wednesday, which will be this week, Wednesday, Throw Down episode 187. We're going to do our predictions episode. We're going to have the guys from the ARG podcast joining us, which is going to be a lot of fun. Then starting on Saturday, Carlos is going to host a bunch of E3 live streams. We're going to do live reactions of the actual conferences. So the conferences are Saturday is going to be EA Play at 11 a.m. Pacific. Sunday is going to be Xbox briefing at 11 p.m. Pacific. And then the same day on Sunday, Bethesda E3 at 6:30 p.m. Pacific. Then on Monday, we got Ubisoft E3 at 1 p.m. Pacific and PlayStation E3 at 6 p.m. Pacific. And Tuesday, which will be the final kind of press conference, the Nintendo E3 Direct at 9 a.m. And then that Thursday, we're going to have the Throwdown episode 188, which will be the post E3 analysis. That's going to have a bunch of guests. And so actually, all of these will have, you know, different guests and stuff, depending on who's available. And then the final episode is going to be Sunday, June 17th. Manny and I will be back from E3, and we're going to do the post E3 special where we answer all them E3 questions, man. So it's going to be a lot of content. This is easily the most content we've ever been able to produce for you guys. And remember, we are not counting the shit Manny and I are going to be doing out there. We already got a bunch of like things we got planned out. So it's going to be pretty cool, you know. So
yeah.
If you're not already, make sure you're subscribed and click on that bell so you get notified to everything that we have. We're going to have a bunch of shit. It's going to be crazy, man.
It's crazy, man.
You know? So yeah, that's gonna pretty much do it for us. So once again, I was your host Tony Polanco, joined by Emilio Lopez.
I'll see you later, guys.
Chris Seeley.
Hey, take care, everyone.
Carlos Romero.
Peace out.
Brett Murdoch.
It's been real, party people.
And Adam Vale.
Have a good week.
All right, guys. We'll see you, man. Later.
Later.
Deuces.
Later, people.